Hello, greetings from Omaha, Nebraska, USA. This week, I would like to share with you a topic that we've been working on here in our church, having to do with the will of God. I believe we'll explore several different aspects, several different ideas related to the will of God. And to get us started, I thought it important to start with Romans. Romans chapter 9, verse 11 through 24. Romans chapter 9, verses 11 through 24. I'm going to read through and pause a little as I go, and we'll see how that gets us along. Verse 11, "For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth." That's pretty difficult. We know that before the foundation of the world, that God saw each and every one of us in his mind. And when he did that, he was able to see the choices we would make and the way we would live out our lives. Okay? It was, verse 12, "It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger." So before they were even born, the prophecy, "The elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." So here, before any action was taken, before any behavior happened, before they could be innocent or guilty of any particular action, the prophecy says, "Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated." Verse 14, "What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." I had a debate with my father, David, one time, and we talked about whether or not God was fair. And from certain points of view, people could think that God was not fair. But my conclusion out of that was God was fair because he did what he said he would go was going to do. God keeps his own word. He says what he's going to do, and then he does it. And he is very careful in choosing what he says so he does not create conflict. So when God chooses to love some people and hate others, it's fair because he told us he would. All right? So if God were to contradict himself, then that would be unfair. But God does not. So, because he's consistent, because he keeps his word, and he does what he says he's going to do, that makes him completely and totally fair. At least, that's my definition. All right. So, verse 16, "So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." All right? Whatever you want and whatever you do, it's still up to God. It's still his mercy to choose to show or not show. Okay? "For even the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth." One of the core concepts that we believe in our church is that God is a great storyteller. And his desire is to tell a story with great detail. And through the telling of this story, to illuminate the various aspects of his own character and personality, to share his attributes. So whatever his potentials are, those things would come to light through the telling of the story in which we all live. Okay? Verse 18, "Therefore he will have mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth." Because he's telling the truth, or sorry, because he's telling the story, and as he tells the story, he has to choose to intervene or to hold back, depending on what the story requires. All things work together for the good for those who believe in the Lord. That is a truism. With all things are part of this story that he's telling. And so in order to tell the story, he's got to get involved at some times, and at other times he lets things play out. Okay? Thou wilt then say unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Here's a rhetorical question from Paul, pointing out that if God made me to be the way that I am, how can he blame me when I behave as though I'm made? When I behave according to the nature that God gave me, okay? Verse 20, he answers and says, nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? We've had an extensive conversation here in our church about free will. And some of it was influenced by what Brother Fury had to say. And one of the things he said was that, I'm going to paraphrase it as best I can, that our free will is dependent upon several factors. One of which is that we don't know the consequences or all the consequences of our choices. We are not, God himself has full foreknowledge. He knows the end from the beginning, and so therefore he knows what the result of every single choice will be, what his choices are and what our choices are. Our problem, our situation is such that we don't know all of the ramifications, all of the consequences of our actions. We don't know what all will come of our choices. And so because we don't know, then that is a key element to our free will, because we can choose. There's more to that that I'm not remembering off the top of my head, but that was a key thing that here, just because God knows everything and because God knew us before the foundation of the world, does not mean that we know everything. And because we don't know everything, we have to proceed as if it's not written. So when we question God, and why did you make me thus? God knows who will and will not end up with him at the end, but that's not necessarily something that we get to know in the same way. So he says, shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? And here's the most important part of where I'm getting to today. And it says, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? And that is a key understanding, that God made vessels unto honor and unto dishonor. He knows which ones are vessels unto honor and which ones are vessels unto dishonor. But we don't know. We can make judgments, and we can look at people's behavior and their words, and we can make guesses. But only God himself can see all the way down into a person's heart to know what they truly believe and to know what they truly think and what they will choose to do. We have only the outside evidence, and that is, well, unless God would give us a view into their heart, which he is able to do. But so he has both vessels unto honor and vessels unto dishonor. And they come from the same source. He says, power of the clay of the same lump. So out of the same ingredients, when God, before the foundation of the world, visualized and saw every single person that would ever exist, he was able to mentally sort them into groups of honor and dishonor. Okay? And then we get to another piece in 22. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. That is a very hard saying, because what it says is that God allows vessels of wrath to exist. He allows vessels of wrath to make choices. He allows evil to exist in the world. In verse 23, he explains why, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. So we see the two sides now again, that you have vessels for honor and vessels for dishonor. And he puts up with, he endures, he allows vessels for dishonor so that he might have glory for the vessels of honor. Verse 24, even us whom he hath called, not only of the, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Okay. So what is he saying? The sovereignty of God is this, that in order to tell a story, in order to be able to be the hero of the story, there has to be a villain. And God, from the foundation of the world, saw all of the peoples of the world, both the heroes and the villains. And in fact, we're going to explore this some more, but he saw the ultimate villain, that is, the devil, Satan himself, he saw him too. And God placed that devil in exactly the right place in the right time to be able to become the ultimate adversary. So that God, who defined himself as good, would be able to show us that. But we cannot understand that which is good without also having experienced that which is evil. So to appreciate good, we have to experience evil. How can we know what light is except that we had experienced darkness? So God, before the foundation of the world, was willing to allow the existence of vessels of dishonor, vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. For what purpose? That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, on his children. In order to be a healer, someone had to be sick. In order to be a provider, somebody had to have a need. And so God, in his ultimate sovereignty, was willing to allow for a given time evil to exist in the world, so that he might be the good that fights against it. All right, I hope you have a blessed and wonderful day, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.